the history of rock and roll.
Never felt like this until I kissed ya. How did I exist until I kissed ya? I kissed ya. Oh yeah, I kissed ya.
Marty Robbins scored with his first pop hit in 1957, A White Sport Coat. By 1960, the year after Till I Kissed You, he changed his style to come up with a huge record, a performance which had one foot in country music and one foot in folk music, El Paso.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Nighttime would find me in Rose's Cantina. Music would play and Felina would whirl. Cradled by two loving arms that I'll die for. One little kiss and Felina.
That same year brought a million seller for the Everly Brothers, Kathy's Clown.
Don't want your love anymore. Don't want your kisses, that's for sure. I die each time I hear this sound.
Brenda Lee, another country rock singer, described the making of her most successful record for the history of rock and roll.
We had been trying to record I'm Sorry for 2 years. The song had been written for 2 or 3 years, and I guess because of my age at that time, the recording company thought it might not be a good idea to record that type of a song. So we had almost given up hope of ever recording it, but we did go into a session one night. And my manager, just for old time's sake, since we had gotten used to taking it to every session we went to in the hopes that they might cut it on us, took it, and we had about 10 minutes left over on the session of extra time. So he said, well, why don't we try I'm Sorry? And we didn't even have an arrangement. So everybody says, okay, we're game. So we cut it in 2 takes, I believe it was. We rehearsed it once and cut it. And you know the rest. It turned out to be, I guess, the biggest song that I've ever had.
Documentary reruns one of Buddy Holly's prettiest songs momentarily.
The history of rock and roll.
There you go, and baby, here am I. Oh, well, you left me here so I could sit and cry. Well, golly gee, what have you done to me? Oh, well, I guess it doesn't matter anymore. You won't matter anymore. We'll be right back.
Paul Anka wrote that song for Buddy Holly, and it was later picked up by the Hollies to become a successful record for the English group. By the 1960s, country influences were turning up in a variety of forms in both pop music and rock and roll. One of the most radical and most successful changes was wrought by Ray Charles, who described his attraction to country music for the history of rock and roll.
I've always been a great fan of the Grand Ole Opry. When I was a little kid, I would every Saturday night, I'd make sure that I got to a radio and hear the Grand Ole Opry. And when I was living in Florida, I even worked in a little hillbilly band. It was called the Florida Playboys. And I've always had a great love for country and western music.
Born to lose, I've lived my life in vain. Every dream has only brought me pain. Born to lose, and now I'm losing you.
Another unusual interpretation of country music in a rock and roll context was done by the Beatles in 1966, a song originally performed by Buck Owens, sung in this case by Ringo Starr.
They're gonna put me in the movies. They're gonna make a big star out of me. We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely. And all I gotta do is act naturally.
Bobby Gentry wrote a folk song in 1967, but her interpretation of Ode to Billy Joe straddled it across musical categories. The country element was, however, one of its strongest characteristics.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day. I was out chopping cotton and my brother was baling hay.
The folk structure of Ode to Billy Joe and folk music comes up in the next section of the history of rock and roll. The Everly Brothers, Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, and Buddy Holly will be back during chart sweeps following the folk chapter. The late Woody Guthrie opens the hour with his personal portrait of the Depression.
The history of rock and roll.
Back in 1927, I had a little farm and I called it heaven. Price was up and the rain come down and I hauled my crops all into town. I got the money, bought clothes and groceries, fed the kids, took it easy. Hey, if it had been just a little bit thinner, I've always believed that stew had been just a little bit thinner, some of our senators could have seen through it.
What Sinclair Lewis and John Steinbeck accomplished in their novels of social conscience, Woody Guthrie matched in his songs of the American everyman. Sometimes he was topical, as in Talkin' Dust Bowl Blues, which began our folk section. Sometimes not, As in his patriotic This Land Is Your Land, the topical protest song was born as a pinpoint in the 1930s. It fed on the political ferment of the 40s to become a spear, then was blunted by the McCarthy era of the 50s. In the early 1960s, it emerged again as a major cultural force and changed the love-struck face of popular music, injecting realism, philosophy, and psychology into pop lyrics. It was reborn in dimly lit coffee houses and folk music clubs across the country. One such seedbed was and is the Troubadour in Los Angeles. The history of rock and roll takes you there for some words from Joni Mitchell, one of the finest young writers in the folk field. Miss Mitchell's best-known song, Both Sides Now, is a poetic but unmisty study of love, which owes its reality and insight to the forces generated by the topical song.
I sang folk songs, I mean traditional songs, for a very short time. Most of the songs that were in my repertoire were contemporary songs, so they'd already begun to change and began to absorb other influences other than just, you know, the traditional structure. Most of the people who are in rock now are ex-folk singers, Mama Cass, for instance, David Crosby, Stephen Stills played the folk music circuit, so all of those people brought with them their folk influences to rock and roll, which, you know, changed it to the form that we know rock and roll today, which is quite different than it was Bill Haley kind of rock and roll. It brings more more melodic, there's more melody to it than rock and roll with just the early rhythm and blues changes. And yet rhythm and blues, of course, is a form of folk music too. So then you break down into different categories within folk music, like they're the traditional things. I know the traditional songs that I used to sing were nearly all in A minor. And the melodies were, or else they were modal. That was the kind of melody that I chose for myself. Whereas Stephen's Stills, for instance, I think the kind of folk music that he liked, he's very South American in his rhythms. He lived in South America for a while, so he brings that to his music. David Crosby has a bit of a jazz thing, I think, happening in it, which is, again, an extension of blues, which is, you know, I mean, it goes on forever.
Now, to continue our show, ladies and gentlemen, the Troubadour is proud to present, for the history of rock and roll, Miss Joni Mitchell.
I was a little bit late coming here tonight because I was watching television. I don't watch television that often, but a really good friend of mine was on. Two really good friends of mine were on, actually, Laura Nero and Judy Collins, and Judy sang a song of mine that's making both of us fabulously wealthy. Rose and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the everywhere. I've looked at clouds that rain, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way.
The history of rock and roll will return to Joni Mitchell's contemporaries later in the four-hour folk chapter. But for now, let's back through time to the sixth best-selling record from 1951.
On time. all smoking, all covered with snow.
I lost my true lover for courting so slow.
For courting's a pleasure.
For courting's a pleasure.
But parting is grief.
But parting is grief.
And the false-hearted lover.
And the false-hearted lover.
Is worse than a thief.
Is worse than a thief.
A thief will just rob you.
You'll all be forsaken.
And never know why.
And never know why.
On Top of Old Smoky was a traditional folk song arranged in its pop version by Pete Seeger, mentor of the Weavers. He's the most famous member of a family of folk rangers, a clan which has researched, recorded, popularized, preserved, and created much of modern America's folk heritage, a task shared by the Lomax family and others. Seeger sang with the Weavers and wrote and arranged many of their numbers before going on his own. On Top of Old Smoky is typical of American mountain music, unlike the next song in the history of rock and roll, a 1955 release which combined elements of Negro blues and work songs.
The history of rock and roll.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Popular folk music wasn't limited to American songs. Harry Belafonte initiated a musical craze in 1957 with a Jamaican traditional song.
Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and a drink a rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home. Daylight come and me
That same year, Jimmy Rogers' first million seller brought a new sound to pop folk music.
Honeycomb, honeycomb.
Well, it's darn good life, and it's kind of funny how the Lord made the bee, and the bee made the honey, and the honey bee looking for a home. And they called it a honeycomb, and they roamed the world, and they gathered all of the honeycomb in the one sweet fall, and the honeycomb from a million trips made my baby's lips so honeycomb. Oh, won't you be my baby? Well, the honeycomb be my own. Got a hank of hair and a piece of bone. They made a walkin', talkin' honeycomb. Well, honeycomb, oh, won't you be my baby? Well, the honeycomb be my own. What a darn good life when you got a wife like honeycomb.
The turn of the decade was marked by a huge revival of interest in folk music, led by Dave Gard, Bob Shane, and Nick Reynolds, the Kingston Trio. The History of Rock and Roll talked to Dave Gard, founder of the group, about the trio's first professional booking at the Purple Onion in San Francisco.
We stayed at the Purple Onion for about 8 months and built up our repertoire, what have you, studied a bit, took singing lessons and banjo lessons, what have you, and then started traveling. And from there on out, I guess it's history.
Throughout history, there have been many songs written about the Eternal Triangle. This next one tells the story of a Mr. Grayson, a beautiful woman, and a condemned man named Tom Dooley. When the sun rises tomorrow, Tom Dooley must hang. down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound to die. Poor boy, you're bound to die. Poor boy, you're bound to die. Poor boy, you're bound to die.
But it's a real legend then. We've visited the places and saw what happened, and it's utterly believable. Tom Dooley was a Civil War veteran, Southern side. Came back, I think he killed his girl in 1867, and was trying to make it across the hills to Tennessee by night with his other girlfriend. And it said that he composed the song himself just before he died in 1867. You know, the night before he was about to be hung, really.
We went one day about a month ago to have a little fun. In Mexico we ended up in the gambling spot where the liquor flowed and the dice were hot. So here we are in the Tijuana jail. Ain't got no friends to go our bail. So here we'll stay, 'cause we can't pay. Just send our mail to the Tijuana jail.
More of the Kingston Trio coming up on the Rockumentary.
The history of rock and roll. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
Elvis Presley prompted screams from his fans, just as the Beatles did several years after the popularity of Where Have All the Flowers Gone. The Kingston Trio were a midway phenomena, and their appearances triggered not screams, but hoots. Hootenannies, that is. Where Have All the Flowers Gone was an early clue of the messages to come, but the beginning of the pop folk renaissance was focused primarily on packaging rather than content. In 1962, for example, the Highwaymen hit with a nicely wrapped version of the traditional Michael.
Michael.
The group also scored with a southern folk song about cotton fields.
When I was a little bitty baby, my mama would rock me in the cradle in the morning. Cotton fields back home. When I was a little bitty baby, my mama would rock me in the cradle in the morning. Cotton fields back home.
Up to this point, folk music had been fairly easy to describe. Purists insisted that folk songs were the result of oral tradition. They couldn't be deliberately constructed, and that folk music had to be ancient. But things began to break loose in 62, with a crop of young songwriters and performers who forced a redefinition. Soon, songs containing social statements or intensely personal lyrics were accepted as instant folk music. The history of rock and roll returns with a 1962 hit from the group which popularized this breakthrough of new folk form.
History of rock and roll.
just a lad of 10, my father said to me, come here and take a lesson from the lovely lemon tree.
Don't put your faith in love, my boy, my father said to me. I fear you'll find that love is like the lovely lemon tree. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flower is sweet. But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. Lemon tree, very pretty, and the lemon flower is sweet. But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat.
Peter Yarrow, Paul Stuckey, and Mary Travers sneaked into pop music charts with records that sounded much the same as some of the folk songs which had preceded them. But Peter, Paul, and Mary exposed songs with new ideas and more literate lyrics. They emerged from the churning new folk scene in New York's Greenwich Village, a musical subculture which was to enrich and alter rock and roll and popular music. John Sebastian, who later founded the Love and Spoonful, was a part of that scene.
At that time, there was, of course, Freddie Neal. Vince Martin was working with him. Timmy Harden was there. Johnny Hammond was there. Even, as a matter of fact, Jimi Hendrix was there as Jimmy James in the Blue Flame, the old school of hardcore people like Dave Van Ronk and Mississippi John Hurt would pass through every now and then, Jack Elliott and... Buffy St. Marie, Judy Collins. Within this strange little area of about five or six blocks, there was an incredible cross-section, as well as having all the big vanguard recording artists. There were also a lot of young people. Larry from Canned Heat was in the village at that time working at a basket house. He worked there at the same basket house that Steve Stills did, which was the same one that I worked at. And at the same time, Maria D'Amato from the Jim Queskin band was working right in the same area. I was accompanying her on guitar. Simultaneously, I was working with Freddie Neal and Felix Pappalardi, who now produces The Cream. He was playing guitaron for Freddie. John Hammond, Tim Harden, several other people were part of this particular club.
Peter, Paul, and Mary were the first to emerge from this folk happening into popular success. The record which established them as more than a one-shot group, though, was written by a member of the old guard of folk music, Pete Seeger. The history of rock and roll continues with a Peter, Paul, and Mary record composed by the most important writer from the early Greenwich Village scene.